We begin this morning with a story of the Magi. Oh, I love thinking about the Magi. Those amazing Magi. Miraculous, mysterious, the wise men. The kings that we sang about a little bit ago. Can you go back with me 2,000 years and just imagine a little bit what that had to be like? Especially for Mary and Joseph. Imagine what it was like for them, having already heard the voice of the angel and the journey to Bethlehem and the birth of Jesus, and then the shepherds to come and bow down before them and worship them. And then sometime later, maybe months, maybe up to a couple of years, for these Magi to appear. We certainly have a picture of them. All of us have pictures of the Magi. I have more imagination about the Magi than I do about anything else in the Christmas story. What were they really like? Were they dressed as elaborately as artists love to portray them? Were they as rich as some people portray them to be? Their story, to me, is it's fun, and it certainly tickles my imagination. And really, the Magi, I think, tickle the imagination of just about every generation. Who were they? God has given us enough about the Magi, enough of their story, to see some beautiful and deep lessons right on the page. Some really neat things about God and about how He is working and how He brings together incredible people and events in order for His will to be done. They leave us with a great deal of curiosity because we don't have all the information, and we speculate, and different people think it might be this way or that way, and yet all that to me is a glorious part of the Christmas story. There's enough in the Christmas story to absolutely amaze anyone who stops to really hear it, but there's also enough in the Christmas story to cause us to dream and think about, and to me, the Magi are that way. I love the Magi, and I'm not even sure why I love the Magi so much, but every Christmas when I read the story again, I just feel and sense something else. Would you turn with me and read with me, if you would like to, the story of the Magi? It's in Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. Listen to the wonder, and you may be curious too, like me, about different parts of it and elements of it, but going to read from chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, the story of the Magi as they find the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophets has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The first thing that got my attention as I was thinking about the Magi and thinking about today is how the word worship is used. Here Herod, who had hatred in his heart and jealousy and fear and all those things, used the word worship. "So that I too may go and worship him." His worship was far from what God wanted in the heart of anyone about who Jesus was. And then you have the Magi, whose hearts was full of love and seeking and finding what God wanted for them. Who were these amazing people, likely men who traveled so far? I mean, the distance they had to have traveled had to be incredible in that day. What was their motivation to go that far to find the one whose star was in the sky? They had to be very knowledgeable. They had to know that there was something about the stars and the astronomy that they studied and about why this particular event in the sky meant that a king was born. They had to have a lot of knowledge about probably a lot of different cultures and what they believed about them. Really, all we know about them is it says they came from the east of Israel, east of the Promised Land, Babylonia, Persia, China. There's a lot of theories out there, and some are more likely than others, but they came from the east. That is saying they came a long way. When you talk about the distance that somebody travels, and when they say from the east, it means they came from a long way. They were obviously very learned people. They would have had to know a whole lot about the stars and the sky and the countries around them and history. And yet, in their own culture and wherever they came from, they brought with them an idea and a kernel of truth about the truth of God. Somehow God had also planted in their hearts something that caused them to burn, something that caused them to desire greatly. The first thing I think about them specifically as they came is they were seekers. They were seeking something. There was something inside their heart and their lives that opened them up for something more, something different, something deeper, something better about the existence and the identity of who God was and how He revealed Himself. If indeed they did come from Persia, they did have their gods and all those cultures. They had their gods. But they somehow knew that there was a God who was calling to them from the heavens, calling to them about something that was big and permanent and about the future of the world, prophetic. They were seeking. They had something in their hearts that said that they were wanting to hear. They were wanting to believe. They had to be believers of some sort. They had to believe that the God of the Israelites, the Hebrews, the God of Judea, had something to say to them. Not only were they seekers, but they were believers. They believed that God had put that star in the sky and that God would lead them to the place where they would find this great young king. They were believers. When we come to the Christmas story and we have a heart that's seeking, God can show us all kinds of truth and things that we've never seen before. We can perceive and sense about the nature of God and about His call to us and our circumstances. When we're seekers, God can show us incredible things. When we believe that God will speak to us. When we believe that God is not silent. You see, these wise men believed that God was speaking. That's an important part of the story to me. It's important that you and I are at the place where we believe God can speak to us. We have an openness about the truth of God and what He wants to say to us. Those Magi were seekers and they were believers. And they also were responding to God's leading. God put this incredible star in the sky, this incredible event in the sky. It says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They knew that God was speaking to them through this star. They were overjoyed. Imagine what it was like living their lives wherever they were. I'm just choosing Persia. As they were living out their lives as scholars and students and all those things. And then suddenly this event appears in the sky. Something they had been hearing about somewhere in their study. They believed, they knew that the true God would speak to them through an event in the sky. They were led by that star. They were responding to the voice of God, and they were overjoyed in their hearts when they saw that star. How precious that word is, overjoyed, in the Christmas story. I haven't spent a lot of time focusing on that word, but this morning, would you just give a moment to think about the overjoyed that God can give you, that God can give me. He can give us something, even in 2020, in our circumstances, that lifts us up out of our circumstances and puts our minds and hearts on the heavens, if you would. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They were also on a great journey, a journey of faith, a journey of seeking, a journey of listening. They were on a journey to hear what God had said to them. Would you go on to those next two bullet points, please? They brought their gifts. They brought what they had. God had allowed them. They were probably very wealthy. I mean, we assume they were wealthy from how far they came and what they brought. But they brought their best. God had allowed them to have a lot. Gold and frankincense and myrrh, all very expensive and all very precious, and all with a particular function. They brought their gifts. They brought from their heart. They brought, I believe, their best. But even more important, they brought their faith. So in this Christmas season, as we think toward the new year, I hope that you will bring your faith to the Christmas story and allow the Christmas story to speak to you of the wonder and the majesty and the beauty of God. They brought all those things, but even more incredible, they opened their treasures. I mean, they brought their treasures and they opened them. The Bible says that they got there and they knelt down before Jesus and they bowed down and worshiped Him. Then they opened their treasures and presented Him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. I think of how they first bowed down and worshiped. When they came, they just their reaction, their response was to fall down and worship. I think they didn't even know the story like we do. What's our reaction when we think of the Christmas story? Is it to bow down in our hearts before an amazing, loving God and acknowledge Him? First they bowed down and worshiped. Then they opened their treasures and presented Him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. God allowed them to see something that others had not seen. They also, not only did they open their treasure, but they found the treasure. In the Christmas story, not only did these wise men bring the treasure, and that's what I think about probably more about the wise men in the Christmas story, how they brought treasure, but also the wise men found treasure. They found the best treasure. They found the reason why God revealed Himself in the Christmas story. They came, and however old Jesus was at the time, they knew that the gift was not what they were bringing, but what they found when they got there. They bowed down and they worshiped. You imagine this little baby Jesus, maybe still an infant, maybe a toddler, somewhere in between probably. They came to the house where Mary was and the baby. Can you imagine if Jesus had any perception of what's going on then? I'm not sure about that as a baby, what Jesus perceived or didn't as a toddler, but can you imagine again what Mary felt as they come in? They find Him? I mean, how did these two or three or four or 20 wise men find Him? Mary, maybe she's seen the star. Maybe she hasn't. I don't know. But to see how God had led these men from 300 to 400 to 500 miles away, and they found the treasure. They found baby Jesus. When I think about this idea of they brought treasure and they found treasure, I'm also reminded of the expression that I've used and many of you have too. You cannot outgive God. Here are the wealthy people bringing their gold and frankincense and myrrh, bringing their best. It had to be a sizable gift. Again, possibly, presumably, so when Mary and Joseph had to flee, they would have the funds to go to Egypt and stay there. That's what I think is a logical possibility. But think about this. How they came to give, but they received so much. Sometimes Christmas, we love to give. I do. I mean, you know me, I'm so weird about pumpkin bread and stuff like that, you know. That's just fun to me. I enjoy it so much. We love to give. Good people love to give. Godly people love to give. Christian people who have the love of God inside of them are givers. But even so, how much more God has given us? Oh, how much more God has given us in Jesus and the wonderful gift of Jesus and the love that we hear and feel from God. This is a story of God's greatest gift. The Magi gave, but they received so much more. And we too have the opportunity to receive, to give, and to receive so much from God's Spirit. Praise God. Thank Him. And then the shepherds for a couple of minutes. Who were they? The shepherds. They worked at night. At least they were working at night on this night. They probably worked all day too. It's not just that they're only out with their sheep at night. It's just that this is when the angels came. They worked in the cold, when it was cold, in the rain, whatever precipitation came. I think the dangers that they faced with animals who would try to get the sheep, which I'm sure there was a good number of. And you know what the weapons they had? Pretty much a staff and a slingshot. That's all we know of. How would you like to be guarding a herd of 200 sheep with a staff and a slingshot, and you know that there could be a lion, a bear, a wolf, or who knows what else? Coyotes, probably. That's all they have, and it's cold. But yet God chose them to hear the news first. Think of the gift that God gave to them. He gave them the incredible gift of hearing the news first. God must have really loved those shepherds. I meant to say, God must have really loved the Magi to give them the incredible gift that He did. And God must have really loved the shepherds to give them the incredible gift that He did. They were hard workers. They were chosen by God. They were important to God. The shepherds in the story show us that God cares about the hard workers out there too. It's not just the rich that God cares about. It's not just the poor, but God cares about every person. They were important to God. The shepherds were important to God. They were loved by God. I just want to remind you on this last Sunday of the year how much God loves you. In the Christmas story, I'm kind of glad it comes at the end of December, the last month of the year. It's a great time to remember as 1 year closes out that God is watching over you and loves you. And He knows what's going on in your life, and He incredibly has a gift for you, a relationship, the gift of Jesus. I want us to remember today as we close out this year, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is a gift. Man, that's a gift. Sometimes we think about that more than others. Sometimes when people are ill or somebody in your family is sick or maybe they pass away and that verse may come back again to you, how incredible eternal life is. The gift, the promise, the presence of God, the love of God, that's incredible. God did give the shepherds a great gift. He gave them the news. He gave them the privilege to behold, as the angel said. God gave the shepherds a great gift. He gave them an opportunity to come and worship too. The shepherds were forever touched by God. He loved them so much. They found the treasure too. You see, after the angels left and went up to heaven, they said, well, We should go to Bethlehem and see this thing that we've been told about. Imagine those shepherds who probably, I can't imagine, did things very different very often. They probably were pretty pattern people, I'm guessing. But to lay down their staves and their slingshots or whatever they had and make their way to Bethlehem and then go into that cave, that stable. And there was Mary and Joseph and a baby. All like the angel had said. I mean, the angels had told them what they would find. And they did. And we'll say to you, God tells us what we'll find when our hearts are open to Him. We will find God's love. We will find God's plan. We will find God's truth. God loves you just like He did the shepherds and the wise men. I'd like to close this service a little bit different than I usually do. I guess 2020 has been so different, I just might as well be different on the last Sunday. I'd like to ask you, go on to that next slide, would you please? I'd like you to think about, in closing this morning, go on to the next one. All who came to the Christmas story are deeply loved by God. Every person who comes to the Christmas story is deeply, deeply loved by God. And that's you. In 2020, God loves you just like He did the shepherds and the wise men. It's our opportunity to open our hearts and say, God, I accept Your love. I respond to Your love. And then the last slide. This is on the kids' quiz. So kids, I really want you to get this one right. I'm even going to tell you the answer, okay? The Christmas story. God loves. And I'd like you to put your name in there. I want you to remember today that God loves you. Okay, this is how I'm going to be different. Some of you are going to roll your eyes. I'm going to walk around with a microphone. I'm going to ask some of you to put your name in there. I want you to say, God loves, and would you say your name? I'm going to pick on Mike Root.
God loves Mike Root.
Amen. All right, Dee, it's up to you.
God loves Dee Smith.
Amen. Brad.
God loves Brad Walter.
Amen. Sandy.
God loves Sandy Smith.
See, I gave you a break, didn't I? Deb Close. I know this, but would you say it too?
God loves Deb Close.
Yes, He does. Here we're lobbying for somebody to get picked here.
No, I can't reach you. Tiffany, you're going to have to do it.
God loves Tiffany Delkamp.
He sure does. Charity, so good to see you.
God loves Charity Bauer Sox.
Amen.
God loves Jackie Kaler.
Amen.
God loves Paul Coons.
He sure does. He sure does. Rachel.
God loves Rachel Keister very much.
Say that again.
God loves Rachel Keister very much.
Very much. God loves all of you very much. Shaylin.
God loves Shaylin Krill.
Oh, boy. Now all my grandkids want to. If you need to go, it's okay. It really is. All right, Wendy.
God loves Wendy Krell.
He sure does. Thank you. Kai, would you hold that?
Chow any much.
Very much, that's right. Emily?
God loves Emily. Chamberlain.
He sure does so much. Simon?
God loves Simon Snook.
I hope all of you put your name in there and know that and feel that. That's what the Christmas story is about. Thank God. It's about a lot of things. But the main thing of the story is it's about God's love for us. Could I ask up top there? All right, I'm going to talk to the folks that are on the phone here. Emma Jane Spinello, God loves you so much. Romaine Shambach, Charlotte, Janice, Dolores, Bev, Connie, Wanda, Arlene, Jean, Diane, God loves you so much. Don't forget that. Enjoy that. Have that deep within so you can share that with somebody else, how much God loves you. Thanks for being here today on the last Sunday of the year. I won't talk to most of you till next year, probably. Isn't that a break? Enjoy it. God loves you. I love you. Hope you have a very happy new year. Bye-bye.